we think in Ukraine that we need all the help that we could get from European Union, from the state, so that we stop that guy in Ukraine so that he doesn't go further. So that's the biggest scare for right now.
Hello and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak performing world changers in the creative, social impact, and earth conservation spaces. If you like what you hear on this episode, you're going to want to check out the bonus mini episode you can access if you become a member of My Coffee Club. If you do, you'll get access to bonus episodes, new art, new writing, and other fun benefits at buymeacoffee.com/IsoldeT. See the show notes for more details. And now, let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg, and I'm very happy that you're here and honored that you're here, and I'm incredibly honored to have today's guest. This is a different episode than you might usually get here when I'm usually talking to change makers in the entrepreneurial, creative, social impact, and environmental spaces. This is a much more timely episode because I have a very special guest. Anastasia Vladichinska is Ukrainian. She, up until a few weeks ago, was living a very different life, right? She was a successful entrepreneur. She was living in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. And when the Russians attacked, she fled Ukraine and took, this is amazing, 90 of her friends with her. And now her life is being spent helping these 90 women find work, find places to live, and try to get accustomed to this completely new life that they are all being forced to live now. And I know things will never be the same. So I am honored and incredibly, incredibly grateful that Anastasia has taken the time to be here to tell her story so that all of you can hear it. Anastasia, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you, Isolde. And thanks for suggesting that I be a guest and talk about my story.
I'm so grateful to you. You can't even know. As we were just talking about before we started recording the episode, I was born in the little country right below Ukraine and Moldova, and my family immigrated to the USA many, many years ago. And you are from Ukraine. You were living in Kiev up until just a couple of weeks ago. I would love to hear from you a little bit, if you don't mind talking about what was your life like before the war started, before the attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was living in Kiev, and you and I were talking about Lavra before the recording. So I was actually living by Kiev Pechersk Lavra, which is, you know, one of the oldest churches in Europe. And I was owning an agency, customer experience consulting agency. We would work with huge national, international companies. I also used to teach at the Kiev Mohyla Business School, which is also, you know, one of the oldest business schools in Eastern Europe. And it was just, everything was great. You know, I would give speeches in Brussels, London, New York, and we were good financially. So even COVID year was like record financial year for us. But then, and I was actually on a business trip when the war started. I was on a business trip with my colleague, and it was my only suitcase. Before leaving for the business trip, I had this feeling that something could happen, and it wasn't just the feeling, right? We all got that information. Yeah, the scariest thing was though that nobody would have ever imagined that it would be so massive, you know. Mm-hmm. We all thought it would still be, you know, some more conflicts on eastern side of Ukraine, which unfortunately we are used to now. You know, we've been used to that because it's been there for 80 years. But yeah, so when I left, I took a bit more clothes than I would take on a usual business trip. You know, not the carry-on, but the luggage, one suitcase.
Are you there?
Yes, somebody has called, and that's right.
Yeah. No, I understand. So you said that the very last thing I heard you say before it conked out was that you had taken a little bit more clothes than you usually might because you had a feeling that something.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's amazing to me that your intuition was telling you something was off, something was unusual, even though, as you said, along sort of the eastern part of Ukraine, you got used to it. It's amazing how we strangely get used to aggression and attacks and just sort of live with them. And yet this felt different. And I don't know that anybody expected this to happen. On this scale, you know, so when it happened, what, if you don't mind talking about it, what went through your mind? What were you thinking when you started hearing these reports that this was really becoming something much bigger and more atrocious than anyone had imagined?
Yeah, it's funny how your mind works in those situations. And if I, you know, if I can help somebody with this information now, then, you know, if you could save somebody's life, I'd be really happy. Because, and remember, I was on a business trip and I woke up from explosions. Mm. Now, when you're sleeping, it's 5 a.m. in the morning. You hear the explosions, but your mind is telling you this is not possible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so me and my colleague, we were in a hotel. We actually got up, put on our makeup, clothes, and we were all ready to go and do the workshop because that's our, you know, that's what we do. We do customer experience workshops. So, and then I called the client and she said, Anastasia, everybody's fleeing. So I'm so sorry, but we have to cancel. Only then it hit me. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad called, he said, you know, Anastasia, you got to get into a car and go to the, you know, closer to the Polish border. And I was like, Dad, no, I'm responsible. I have to do this workshop today. So it's just, your mind is in shock. It's telling you it's not possible. And that's why you're still, you know, sleeping or doing the usual stuff, but it's not the usual life anymore. So yeah, my colleague and I, we got into a car and we drove all the way to western part of Ukraine. But her kid was still in Kiev. That was the worst part. So she had to actually go back to Kiev under bombings and get him out of Kiev. Yeah.
Wow. And is she safe?
Yeah, she's safe now. She's one of those. It's already 117 girlfriends.
Wow.
Is all done. It all started with 10. And now it's 100. So she's one of those because she took him and then they fled to Czech Republic. So they're in Prague now. Mm.
And if you don't mind jumping ahead a little bit, can you tell me about, it started with 10 and now it's 117. What is it? What are you, first of all, how are you coping? And second of all, what are you doing? What miracles are you working to help these 117 women get new lives?
Yeah, it's funny because I never thought I had so many girlfriends. Like I remember a conversation with my husband maybe two or three months ago. And I was like, you know, I was like nagging. Like, oh, you know what? I don't really have girlfriends because I'm working so much. I don't have time for girlfriends. I would love to have girlfriends. And now there is no lack of girlfriends, as you might see. So how it all started, you know, when I crossed the border, I saw, it's a horrific picture. Like, it's a horrible picture. When you see women with kids driving their cars, fleeing Ukraine, because, you know, husbands Ukrainian, husbands cannot leave. So it's rows of women with kids, like scared eyes. They have no idea where to go next. And so it all started with one friend. She called me and she said, Anastasia, I'm now in, she was somewhere in Croatia, I guess. And she said, where are you now? I said, okay, I just crossed the border. And she said, well, I'm in Croatia. And I had to leave my two kids with my ex-husband. Now listen to this, who is now living with his new wife.
Wow.
And he said I should stay, which is, of course, not possible. So she went ahead. She booked herself a hotel, but she only had it paid for two nights. Mm. And she had no idea what to do next. So, I mean, it made sense to me to just transfer her the money. And she's a very good friend, like very good friend. So I transferred her the money. And then she was, you know, she was so grateful. But then I was like, okay, but she has you know, a place to stay for two more days, what does she do next? So then I said, because of my work, I've done work internationally. I'm so grateful to the community I have worldwide. So then I found somebody, a client of mine or a former client of mine who lives in the country, who lives in where she was, right? So I connected them and finally she was in the same place and blah, blah. So then more friends. And then it was, I could not manage it. I could not control it anymore because helping like one by one and then connecting them one by one, it was full-time job, 24/7. So what I did, I started out a group, a Facebook group. It's like, it's very plain. It doesn't even have any nice, pictures or marketing because we don't need that. So it's a closed group, private group, only for the women I know personally because of the safety question.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have some bad news from Germany where women started to disappear. So what I do there, I get their needs and they're all split into three categories. One is accommodation, either temporary or for a longer period of time. Second is a job. And the majority of them are looking for remote jobs. So, I've connected with my friends, clients, former clients from the US, and they would give some remote jobs for my girls. And then the third is what we call SOS. So sometimes they would need either like money, like real money, so that I can, so that they can pay for food or something, or they would need psychological support. So we do calls together, and then we have invited a therapist from New York, by the way, and she was so nice to give us free sessions, which were so healing. So yeah, that's what I'm doing now, 24/7.
I'm grateful that they have you, and I'm wondering, if you don't mind saying, what are you doing to take care of yourself? Because
that's the worst question is all that. Because if I'm being real with you, it's much easier to help someone else than to help yourself. And especially for people like us, I teach service. Like I teach companies how to be servant. I teach leaders how to be servant. So immediately, it clicks on your mind and you're like, okay, what should I do for other people? And you start immediately doing that, right? Without thinking.
Sure.
Yeah. But then a question of what about me? What am I going to do next? How am I going to, even simple things like earn money for myself, I don't have those answers yet. And this is the question that you are trying to avoid.
I understand. It's but I have to say, I am like you. I am very service oriented and I want to help everyone I can. But you know this as well as I do, that if you're not getting some healing for yourself, eventually you're not going to be any good to anybody. So it'll be very difficult to serve if you are destroyed yourself. So please, please, from me to you, if you can find even a little bit of a way to take care of yourself, that would be really good for you and for me and for anybody who's listening, because I want to be sure that you're okay too. Because I know it's easy to help everybody else and forget about yourself, but it is so important that you take care of yourself too.
The friends that I'm staying with, they were so nice. Yesterday they said, no, you have to leave your phone and computer and just go for a little walk. So yesterday it was healing. But today, when you get, it's always a roller coaster of emotions. You feel you're okay one day, then the second day, like today, I got this news that they're bombing in the western part of Ukraine, close to where my parents live, then you're just emotionally, you're broken. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure. My family was in Israel during the Yom Kippur War, and I remember the bombs and the air raid sirens and having it to get down to the shelter, but I was young and I didn't feel the responsibility for taking care of everybody because I was 6 years old. So for you, feeling that crushing responsibility must be just something. I'm wondering, Anastasia, what is it that you need? What are the things on your wish list to help you do the work you're doing, to help yourself, if you think of yourself in that way? What do you need?
It's also not an easy question to answer, and I'll be honest with you, because friends ask this all the time, what do you need? And one part of the answer is everything, and then the other part of the answer is nothing. Mm. So I'll explain, you know, I try to balance somewhere, because yeah, on one side you need everything, you need support, you know, mental, emotional, you need funny stuff, like it's not funny anymore, but you would think it's something basic, like you need a place to stay, which is not temporary, right? You need you need a job, which is not temporary as well. So on one side, like, you need everything, right? On the other side, when you're in a I can't even say good mood, but when you're in an okay mood, you feel like, okay, you know, I'm much better than those poor friends of mine who are still in bombshells in either Kyiv or Kharkiv or Kherson, right? So you think, compared to them, I don't need anything, right? I still have, you know, a place to live and food. So it's really very hard to answer to that question. You know, what I'm doing right now, you probably saw it on my social media, because people are constantly asking, can we donate some money, right? And I have to tell you, Isolde, I'm not okay with accepting money just like that, okay? Because I know there's, you know, so much going on. So what I've started doing, and that actually holds me up, I have started doing online webinars, because I can't do anything offline, of course, no. So I've started doing online webinars, which are my own expertise. So I'm sharing my own expertise from, you know, from customer retention, customer experience, all of that. And I am, it's an open link. People can buy the webinar, they can come, or if they don't want to come, they don't have to come, but they will still get the recording. So this way, you know, yeah, I the proceeds from those webinars go to the SOS fund for my girlfriends. But also I feel that I provided some value, even if people don't even open that webinar or don't even come. To me, I feel like I still did something, mm-hmm. not just, you know, I'm a poor girl, give me some funds. Yeah.
No, oh, for sure. And I am the same way. You feel like you need to work for what you get, not just sit and wait for somebody to give it to you. I understand that. I completely understand where you're coming from. And I guess the thing is, for me, I know the big thing, of course, is for the war to stop, right? That's the big need. Like, what is this? This is crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest.
Yeah, and it makes all sorts of sense. You know, this is, to me, this is a megalomaniac doing something senseless and murderous. So I understand, and I'm very happy to say that out there in the world of podcasting or whatever, you've totally pivoted, you've totally changed direction. And I wonder if after this war, this attack on Ukraine is over, because it will eventually hopefully be over, what do you imagine your life will be like then? Will it go back to being what it was? Will it ever be even close to the same? What are your thoughts on that?
Hmm. Yeah, I guess the biggest scare right now, because I'm in Europe now, right? And we saw bombing today only 20 kilometers to close to the Polish borderline. So to answer your question, the biggest scare for right now is that he's not going to stop in Ukraine only, okay? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we think in Ukraine that we need all the help that we could get from you know, from European Union, from the States, so that we stop that guy, you know, in Ukraine, so that he doesn't go further. So that's the biggest scare for right now. Now, if it's only in Ukraine and if it's over and when it's over, I know Ukrainians, like even, you know, 100 girlfriends of mine, nobody is like happy that they left. Okay. Everyone wants to go back. We do understand that we would have to work like hell to get everything back to, you know, on its feet. But believe me, everybody is dreaming of the time when they can go back, where they can rebuild their businesses. Because again, I'm from the business world, right? And all of my customers, all of my former students from the business school, their jobs are stopped. Their businesses are stopped, right? So we will go back and we will rebuild. It will take lots and lots of time, but we will rebuild. We are not fleeing forever. Nobody even has that thought on our minds, you know. Yeah, we even have some jokes with the girls. We tried to share what we left in the apartment, and one girl was like, "I'm so afraid of that chicken I left on the table. I bet it stinks." You know, we're trying to have some humor.
Anything you can do to help yourself get through it, I think, is so important right now. And I've seen so many pictures of people doing just incredible and heroic things as they help each other in Ukraine, as they leave, honestly, it's beyond comprehension to me that this is happening, because I think he's lost his marbles. I really do. I think, you know, I don't understand. And I agree with you, though. I don't know which way he'd go. You know, is Moldova next? Is Poland next? I don't know which way he'd go if the world doesn't stop him now, you know. So if you put on your business hat for a second and think like a strategist, like I know you are, you're an amazing strategist, I can already tell. What do you think needs to happen to stop the war, to stop his advance, to stop his aggression?
You know, Isolde, I was thinking today that the biggest problem of the West, the Western governments, is that they are trying to talk to him as if he is a diplomat, okay? Mm-hmm. Or as if he has the same values as the West has. Mm. So, you know, they believe in negotiations, right? They believe in the value of a human being, of a person, of an individual. You know, they respect all of that. So here's somebody from, and it's a huge cultural difference. Like, it's a huge cultural gap. You're trying, it almost seems like Western governments are trying to talk to a roaring bear, right? You don't negotiate with the roaring bear. When a bear is stepping onto you, you don't say, okay, no, let's meet the next week and try to negotiate, right? And there's a huge cultural difference, because I think that the West does not understand culturally that there are no limits for this person, okay? There are no limits. So I think, and you know, you probably have seen it on social media, we are begging NATO to close the sky over Ukraine, right? At the same time, I understand politically what that means for NATO, right? Because that means what? Like they're playing in a full scale war now with Russia. So I do understand that. I do understand those fears. But at the same time, you know, we're not helpless. No, thanks God. You know, you saw the bravery of people. But at the same time, let me put it this way. We need all the help we can get on different levels. And I'm doing this on purpose, saying on different levels, right? So that guy is stopped. But at the same time, I don't think he could be stopped by negotiations, unfortunately.
Yeah, I feel like I agree with you. And I feel like he will not stop until everybody else gives him a real reason to stop. You know what I mean? He that's how it is. Until he sees that it's that it's much better for him to stop than not to stop. There's no reason for him to stop. And diplomacy can work. I think they're all afraid that it's going to escalate into something that the entire planet can't handle. And so they're trying to tread carefully. And the weird thing for me, Anastasia, is that we don't know what they're trying to do back channels. We don't know what they're trying to do that they're not releasing to the media. So it's very frustrating. Yes,
that's true.
You know, it's frustrating to me as someone who was born in that part of the world and now lives in the West, who watching this going, I know exactly what you're saying, Anastasia. He has no reason to stop culturally. There's nothing that will make him stop unless he sees that it's better for him. So I get the frustration, and yet I see this weird sort of, it's a strange place to be, that we don't know what someone is trying, who we don't know what NATO is trying. We don't know what the USA is trying. And so if I may ask on a personal level, how are you dealing with that, with what I'm sure is a lot of anger and a lot of sorrow and a lot of frustration? How are you dealing with it?
Again, it comes in waves, and I don't have bitterness. I don't think I have bitterness because I try to understand all parts. I don't mean Russia right now, but I try to understand the West and their role in this. At the same time, I also know that what we see in the media is only like, you know, this much. It's not everything. So there's so much going on that they're not releasing to us. I so much agree with you. And it could be either good things or bad things that they're not releasing to us, right? But for my work, previously, I had lots of connections in government. And so even from conversations that we had with them on the Orange Revolution or the Revolution of Dignity, which, you know, two of those were previously in Ukraine, I know that there's so much going on that they're not releasing to us. So that's why I don't think I have bitterness the majority of the time, right? Sometimes I do feel angry and helpless. Mm. Yeah, that hits sometimes. And you almost want to see NATO. I'm sorry, there's a dog.
That's
there.
Perfectly
you almost
fine.
Want like to see Yeah, you almost want like to see NATO soldiers like coming into Ukraine, killing every Russian here and leaving. That's what you want. And for everything to be over in one day or in a week. But then again, I understand that part as well. So I don't allow myself to be bitter the majority of the time. Sometimes, yes, that hits me.
Yeah, of course. And wanting to lash out is a human trait, I guess. And so psychologically, we have to keep choosing the way of peace. And it's hard when someone is trying to hit you over the head. It's hard to say, oh, let's be peaceful. So that to me is perfectly understandable. That notion of like, no, I want to defend myself. I want this to stop. So I guess the thing that I would love to ask you, and I know I don't want to take up too much of your time, but if you had one thing that you could say to the entire world right now, what would you say?
I'll just say help. Really, those four big letters. But when I say that, I would say it for not just to governments, but to everybody. We have a saying right now that anyone could be a soldier at the place where they are now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you could be a soldier like me, you know, helping girlfriends. You could be a soldier. You could be anything, right? But what scares me, and I'm sure it's going to happen, by the end of this war, the whole world community will ask themselves, have we done enough? Governmentally, yes, but also, you know, if you have friends, relatives, whoever in Ukraine, just ask yourself, you know, have you done enough for those people? Okay. And it could be even like giving them a call and asking, are you okay? Or taking them to a safe place. That would be already, you would save somebody's life. So, yeah, that's it, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that one of the things that that I have encouraged everybody I know to do, especially I know a lot of artists and creative people. And so being artist activists and raising awareness and telling, because there are billions of people, and I most probably know something about this, but they don't all know something about this. And so if we can raise awareness that you do need help, that there is this thing going on. And so there are, and I'm going to put some links in the show notes for this episode about different places that are actively on the ground in Ukraine, trying to bring food to people, trying to bring medical supplies, trying to feed the animals that are in the country. Yeah. There are lots of organizations that are trying to help. And if you are interested in being more involved, these are ways. No, you may not be a soldier to go fight, but you might be a soldier to donate money or to help in other ways to make sure that you are doing, as Anastasia just so brilliantly said, that you are doing as much as you can to help these people who just want to live in peace. So please remember that if you're listening to this, there are ways that you can get involved. And again, the show notes will reflect some of the places you can go. Anastasia, as I said, I don't want to take up too much of your time. And this is kind of a cop-out question, and I apologize, but is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to mention, that you would like to talk about?
There's either way too much or, you know, because you have so many thoughts. Everything has changed so much. I think the one thought that I've been sharing was business community now. And I strongly feel it. So I will probably share it here and you just decide, you know, if you want to have it or not. I'm rethinking the word network for business community these days. Why? Because, you know, as business owners, we always think of network, and even the word consists of two words, right? Like net and then work. So this means that we talk about things like expanding our network, right? So it's almost like business people are thinking about their network as something they could use in the future for their work, right? Or for the business. Mm-hmm. Now, I would encourage people to, especially business people, to stop thinking of your network as of a means to get yourself something one day. Because right now, after I've lost everything, my network is the only thing that is left. And this is not a win-win situation anymore. This is, you know, your network helping you with accommodation for your girlfriends, for example. There's no win-win in here, right? So I would like to encourage a business community to stop building relationships in a way that, you know, I'm building this relationship, but on the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how am I going to use that relationship in the future? Mm. That's why we are getting those tons of messages on Facebook, you know, join my Facebook group, right? So, and everybody's tired of those. So I would really and strongly encourage to stop and to build relationships for the sake of a relationship. If it brings you anything in the future, beautiful. If it doesn't, beautiful again. But at least you know that you're building human connections and not work connections.
Thank you for that. I appreciate your words very much. I don't know if right now, if there's anything else that I can ask. There's just so much to think about and to process. And I invite you, if you want to come back and talk about what's happening at another time, I would love to have you, because I know that I'm sure that you have so much concern and so much fear over the people that you know who are still in Ukraine. And is there anything you would like to say to them, maybe, in case somehow they are ever able to listen to this podcast episode?
That would be very hard, Isolde, because it's easy to say something to people in Ukraine when you are in a safe place, you know. So I really try to avoid anything. Only, you know, only what I can tell them is, if you need help in Europe, you know, DM me. That's it.
Okay.
If you decide you want to flee, because it's, yeah, you don't have words to, the right words to say to those people that are there still.
Okay. Anastasia, I appreciate you taking the time during such a terrible, hard time for you. And I'm really grateful that you took the time to be here and to talk about your story. And if there's anything I can do, please, please reach out. If there's any way that I can help, I'm here. And I know other people who are here in the USA who would love to be of help if they can. I'm super grateful that you took the time. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
This is Isolde Trachtenberg from the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I am so honored that Anastasia took the time to be here to tell the story of what she's been going through and the work that she's doing to help so many women who need the help, and so many Ukrainian women specifically who need the help to begin lives all over again. If you want to get involved, there are ways. As I said, there are going to be websites. There are websites in the show notes that you can go and you can find and you can be involved. And I'm going to tell you something. What Anastasia said is really important. It's not about what am I going to get out of this relationship. It's the giving is the gift, right? So if you can give of your time, of your energy, of your thoughts, of your creativity, of your money, then please consider doing that, because the giving is the gift. Until next time, I remind you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2022. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.